Well, good morning, church. I'm going to invite you to stand. Let's bring our heart's attention, our mind's attention to the Lord Jesus, who is the only one that can change our circumstances. Let's worship Him today.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what a Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things.
Come on, sing it out.
Oh, hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh,
keep those hand claps going. Thank you, Lord. Here we go.
I once had a heart that was dead in the grave, bound in the darkness, a powerless slave. Then heaven reached down from the cross to my soul. Hell started to shake and it had to let go.
Oh, yeah.
I'll never get old.
I want
four that are following Christ in baptism this morning, and we're starting off with a husband and wife. This is Marcia Ferry. Marcia, are you following Christ in baptism this morning because you have trusted him as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Amen. Because of that public profession of faith, it's my joy to baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Marcia's husband, Earl Ferry Jr. Earl, are you following Christ in baptism this morning because you've trusted him as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Amen. Because of that public profession of faith, it's my joy to baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Congratulations. This is Hunter French. Hunter, are you following Christ in baptism this morning because you've trusted him as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Amen. Because of that public profession of faith, it's my joy to baptize you, my little brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, church family, this is John Gordon. John, are you following Christ in baptism this morning because you've trusted him as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Amen. Because of that public profession of faith, it's my joy to baptize you, my little brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life.
Oh, isn't that amazing? We just sang it. I'll never get over it. I'll never get over it. Saving love of Jesus rescued me. We are so glad that you've chosen to worship with us today. And, you know, I've been thinking about this as I was watching these guys get baptized. I love to watch the Olympics. I love to watch the sporting events and all of that. But one of the most amazing things is when you see the video camera capture the watch parties of the families. Have you seen some of those stories when somebody finishes and they either get the gold medal or they have a personal best or something like that, they just win and the families are just going crazy. Okay, so just think, we've just seen death to life. All of heaven rejoices. So if the camera was on us today, how would we respond to what God just did? Would it be a golf clap? I don't think it would be a golf clap. I think it would be, thank you, Jesus. Come on. Sorry, I'm a little fired up today. I'm not sorry. So good to be in the house of the Lord today. If you're joining us online, we want to welcome you. You're our guest today. We're so thankful. More than 40 nations join us every single week in worship, and we are so grateful for you. We welcome you from right here in Plano. To all of our men and women in uniform, our first responders, we thank you for your service and your sacrifice. Thank you for worshiping with us. You're in our hearts and prayers. And for those right here in Plano, if you're our guest today, we especially welcome you. We've been praying for you to join us, and we'd love to answer any questions you might have about the ministries at Prestonwood. We're just one big family here, so be sure and let us know you're here. Type in guest and send that to 74788. Text guest to 74788, or better yet, go to Guest Central, which is right out in the atrium here, and ask any questions you may have. Let us know that you're here. We want to come alongside you and your family in any way that we can. Well, Lord, we welcome your presence into this place today. We're already celebrating your goodness. We're thankful. We're thankful that all the promises of God are yes in Jesus Christ. We give you honor today. We give you thanks. We look to your word that is life to us. It's all about you, Jesus, in your name. And everybody said, amen. Let's continue to worship together.
Father of kindness, you have poured out grace. You brought me out of darkness, you have filled me with peace. Giver of mercy, you're my help in time of need. Lord, I can't help but sing. Faithful you are,
declare it.
All your promises are yes and amen.
Thank you, Lord. I praise you.
Beautiful Savior, you have brought me near. You pulled me from the ashes.
Is your faithfulness, come on.
I will rest in your promise. My confidence
is your faithfulness.
Well, I will.
This I just feel like giving you a fist bump on that. That was really good. Thank you, worship team. Take a seat. You know, our choir is taking just a little summer break for a while, and we always miss our choir when they're out. But I'm telling you, don't you think these folks are carrying the worship today as we lift up Christ? We're so grateful for the worship experience of Preston Wood. And remember, when you are singing, you're singing your praise, and you're also singing your prayers as we offer up our hearts to the Lord. So thank you for participating and sharing in this on a very beautiful, hot summer day, the 1st of August. And it is hotter than a Nolan Ryan fastball here in Texas right now. And that's really fast and that's really hot. But we love it. We love it here in Texas. We're tough here in Texas. We can take the heat. So welcome. And to all of our guests and those of you online, let me add the earlier greeting from me personally. Well, I've long looked forward to this day because several months ago, we began to discuss a unique partnership with the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. Preston Wood is a Southern Baptist church. We are a local congregation, and we associate voluntarily and cooperatively with the Southern Baptist Convention, and we gratefully and gladly do this. And one of the big, huge reasons we do this is the International Mission Board, which is the global mission of Southern Baptists. When churches like ours join together in a cooperative pool financing this work around the world and the thousands of missionaries that serve Southern Baptists and reach the world with the gospel of Christ all over the planet. And in 2018, just several years ago, Paul Chitwood became the president of the International Mission Board. I've known Paul for a while, first as a pastor up in Kentucky, and then he became the executive director of all of Kentucky Baptists, working with Kentucky Baptists on fulfilling the Great Commission with the churches there. And then in 2018, to this great assignment, to me, one of the most important people in all the world is the man you're about to hear today because of the opportunity and the responsibility he has been given to lead so many of us to reach the world for Christ, to put our arms around the world with the love of Jesus and to support, to share, to pray, to give, to go, to be a part of what God is doing locally as well as regionally and nationally, but internationally, globally. So our work with Southern Baptist IMB International Mission Board is critical for us because it gives us this opportunity to go beyond ourselves and to go with others in Jesus' name to the world. And so I've asked Dr. Chetwood and our friend Paul to come and preach today. And he, along with his sidekick today, Minister or Vice President of Global Engagement, we've been working with these two and the IMB and working out something very special for Prestonwood to be a part of. And we're going to be telling you about this as we go in the service today. But Dr. Chetwood, Paul is married to Michelle and has four children. And we welcome you to Texas. A good Kentucky boy needs to get down to Texas every now and then. So, Paul Chetwood, would you come on up along with John? Let's welcome this man and John Brady as well to Prestonwood today.
Graham, for that very kind and gracious introduction. Thank you for the privilege of stewarding this pulpit today. Thank you for your leadership at Prestonwood. We praise God for what he's done here and what he continues to do and all he's going to do through you and through this congregation. And I'm so thrilled to be in a church that has as a part of its mission statement this phrase, to impact the world. And I have seen evidence over my years of observing this congregation and certainly during my time at the IMB that that mission statement is lived out here at Prestonwood as you seek to impact not only this part of the world but the entire world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We're very excited about this partnership and all the potential that is in front of us. There are some very specific things that you as a member of Prestonwood family are going to be able to be a part of as we work together to impact the world with the good news of the gospel, bringing help and hope all around the world. As Dr. Graham said, John Brady is here with me today. John helps lead at the IMB. He actually has a very specific and important assignment along with his team. They set the strategic priorities of all of our overseas work. And as John and I began to dream with your pastors about how Prestonwood could have a unique relationship with the IMB to impact the world, there are four very specific things that we're entering in partnership together to do. There's a slide that we'll be able to share with you some of those things, but I wanted John to just speak personally from his perspective about some of those things. John, let me first ask you, one of the things that we're hoping to do through this partnership and the resourcing that the Prestonwood family is providing is to help train local believers who have come from Muslim backgrounds all over the world, particularly Muslim countries, to train them to impact their communities. Why is it important for us not just to send our missionaries and go as missionaries, but to train and equip local believers who can impact in that way?
You know, when I came in this morning, I just got shivers again. I remembered when we first went to a Muslim country in the early 90s with our family. There was 10 million people in this small country, but only 8 believers. And as we would worship with them and see them begin to grow in Christ and move forward, it blossomed our hearts. I mean, y'all have more people on the front row today than we had in our whole country.
And we're believers.
Believers. Yeah. We had lots of lost people, probably about as many as you have in Dallas, but no believers, no army of people who could go like this. And God began to work in our hearts, just like he works in your hearts to be able to affect this city and the whole globe, each of you. And now, here 30 years later, it still has a long ways to go, but there's thousands. And they mostly have been won and discipled by the disciples of others who, like us, went and poured our life into learning the language, learning the scripture there, and then beginning to teach them, and they have carried it forward like an amazing army. And when we get together with them now, it's hallelujah, almost as sweet as I felt the first time I came back from a long time and was in a worship service like this, because people together serving God make all the difference.
Amen. You know, one of the other things that we plan to do in this partnership is to train nurses, to help equip nurses for the work. What does nursing have to do with mission work?
Well, right now we are in a very critical moment in history, because you see, populations are exploding around the world, but also Southern Baptist, you have supported work. And we now have partners in 140 conventions around the world who are now also, just like all of us who read God's word, finding and feeling that same call to go to the nations. But there is a dearth of ways to go. They have to find a way not only to support themselves, but to be have access into these countries that they go. And as you know, even this week over at Southwestern, we're working with over 400 medical professionals who are going. And so in India, we have an opportunity to be able to train people who can become nurses through the nursing school at Bangalore Baptist Hospital. And that they can actually get a BA in nursing, and then alongside of that have training that we are generating, and then they too can have access and a way to be behind closed doors with people who need the gospel everywhere. You know, nurses, they get to be in that quiet moment with people and with those families, and they get to share the gospel in minutes, where sometimes it takes us a longer time to be able to get there. So we're so excited about this potential, because there are young men and young women who are there who have no chance unless we give them a way to make that distance and stand up. And Southern Baptist did that for my dad. My dad was a poor little country boy out in the middle of South Carolina, and somehow Southern Baptist got together and made a way for him to go, and now me to go. And we want to also be part of seeing that for our partners, not only there, but in other places around the world, to get behind closed doors and to share the gospel and to see people move from, as we heard up here, from death to life everlasting.
Amen. Amen. Trying to think about all that's going on in the world right now. Why is this partnership with Preston Wood at this moment in time so important?
Well, with great privilege that you have, I think you said 40 nations will be on today, and a vast congregation here. It sounds like heaven to worship in this place. Also comes a great responsibility, and you step into responsibility. I know when I was last here, you were sponsoring a one-day India, South Asia mission conference, and you've always stepped out and said, we want to be able to help break the ground. And right now, as the world is repolarizing, when we have China over here, and then we have all these other things going on, and Afghanistan is in a mess, and who knows what else will be tomorrow. It takes bold Christians to make a stand, to say no to the world and say, we are going to stand with God's mission around the world. And that's what this church has always
Amen.
Done.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, John. And for that, we are incredibly grateful. Not just for this unique partnership, but listen, for years and years and years, since its very beginning, the Preston Wood family has been committed to sending missionaries through the International Mission Board. Today, there are more than 3,600 missionaries, along with their 2,700 kids. Many of our missionaries go out as families, as you well know, who are serving in well over 130 countries of the world. It's because of your prayers for them and your generous giving that they can be sent, that they can go, and that they can share. And we want to celebrate with you today the impact that you're having as indeed you live out your mission statement to impact the world. Just this past year, in the midst of a global pandemic, there were more than 18,000 new churches planted around the world through your IMB missionaries. That is actually about 3,000 more churches than were planted the year before the pandemic began, which is just mind-boggling, but it's an indicator of how much God is using this pandemic and the fear of death that comes with it to open hearts and minds to the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We saw more than 750,000 people have the opportunity to hear that gospel last year through your missionaries at the IMB, and just over 144,000 of those who heard professed faith in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for loving the lost around the world. As we think today about what that means and really why we're here, and I don't just mean gathered here for this time of worship. I mean the reason we are here. It occurs to me that there are lots of challenges that we're facing. Challenges in our country, certainly many, many challenges around the world. And I've wondered some days, why didn't God just save us and take us to heaven? Do you believe today that heaven is going to be better than earth? I believe heaven's going to be better than earth. I believe that's true for a lot of reasons. Certainly the Bible teaches that it is. And according to what I read in the scriptures, I have every reason to believe that there will be no Delta variants in heaven. There's no pandemic that's ever going to break loose in heaven. There are no presidential elections in heaven. Thank God. There's no cancer in heaven. There's no addiction in heaven. There's no divorce in heaven. There's no death in heaven. Heaven? Well, it's heaven. And I'm looking forward to being there. And so I'm wondering, why doesn't God just save us and take us there? Well, there's a reason that I want to point you to today as we look to a passage of scripture in the book of Revelation. And let me just go ahead and tell you why we're here and why God hasn't saved us and just immediately taken us to heaven. The reason is heaven is not yet what heaven will be. And God has left you and me here as followers of the Lord Jesus because we have a role to play, a job to do in helping make heaven what heaven will someday be. We find a picture of what heaven will be here in Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, a follower of the Lord Jesus by the name of John is given a vision of heaven, not as it was in his day, not as it is in our day, but as it will someday be. And we find it described with these words. John said, Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10, after this I looked and behold, a great multitude that no one could number. From every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." What a beautiful picture. What an amazing picture, what an inspiring picture that John was able to see in this vision of heaven. This vision of heaven is the mission of the church. To be here and to be able to be a part of seeing heaven become what heaven will be. Our ministry and our mission work as followers of the Lord Jesus, as members of the Prestonwood family, as Southern Baptists, is to steward this vision and to do our part in making heaven what heaven will someday be. To better understand your role in that and my role in that, I want us to ask some questions today of the vision of heaven. And the first question that I want us to ask is simply this: Who do we see in the vision? Looking again at the passage, John describes what he sees. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. Let me pause there and just observe that when we pause very long from the busyness of life to think about heaven, there are usually some questions that come to mind. Questions like, I wonder what we'll be doing in heaven. I wonder what heaven will be like, what heaven will feel like. I wonder who will be in heaven. Well, John's vision certainly answers many of those questions, and it answers that last question in a very specific way. Who will be in heaven? Well, John's vision indicates that heaven will be inclusive. Now, heaven won't be inclusive in the sense that everyone will be included. We know that's not the case. We know that's not the case because many hear the gospel and do not believe it. And still many more never hear it. The gospel is the good news that Jesus came, laid down his life willingly, dying upon the cross to pay the price of our sin. And the Bible says that anyone who believes, who trusts in him and his death on the cross and his resurrection, and confesses him as the Lord of their life, turning from their sin and turning to him as their Savior, the Bible says they're forgiven, they're adopted into God's family, and they have a home in heaven. And yet we know that many have yet to believe. In fact, of the more than 11,000 people groups that have been numbered around the world, there are over 3,000 of those people groups that have yet to hear the good news. We designate them as unreached with the gospel, but not only unreached, they're unengaged in the sense that a missionary has not yet gone. There's been no church planted among them. There's not yet a witness of the good news of what Jesus has done. And that's why we're still here. And the question is for you today, what does that mean for you? What does that require of you? What does God want from you? What is his reason for leaving you here if you put your trust in Jesus and not yet taking you to heaven? It's about this. Heaven's not yet what heaven will be, and many have not yet heard, and God has left us here to get the good news out. That means we have been called to pray for those who are lost, to pray for those who will go. We have been called to generously share what we have, to give so those missionaries can go. But some of us, God is calling to go ourselves. And it might be true of you. Has God placed the nations upon your heart? Knowing that there are places in the world where the good news is not being shared, is God stirring you to go and share that good news? If that's the case, then I'd love to talk with you. Your International Mission Board is still sending missionaries, and we'd love to have the opportunity, whether you're a medical professional, or whether you're just an evangelist or a preacher, or whether you're an administrator, a school teacher, whether you're wondering, how could God use my gifts? Give us the opportunity to explore how God could use your gifts. We actually have a booth set up in the gathering room outside of the sanctuary today. And we'd love to talk with you. Because until the who are there, brothers and sisters, we still have work to do right here. Let's ask another question today of the vision of heaven. And the vision is where? Well, we're obviously talking about heaven, right? But it's interesting that John is very specific as he describes where the believers are gathered in heaven. Looking again at verse 9, John says, after this I looked, and behold, who? A great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Where are they? They're there in the very presence of God. They're there standing before the one who created them. They're there standing before the one who died to save them. This passage reminds us of a kingdom that's not of this world. house that's not built with hands. It reminds us of the eternal city of God. John, as he makes this observation, reminds me of the words of our Lord spoken to his disciples the evening that he would be betrayed, the day before he would be crucified. There in the upper room, as he was comforting them, teaching them, preparing them, they had this sense that their world was crashing in around them, that everything was about to change, and it was. And Jesus said to them, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe in me. In my Father's house are many rooms," or in the old King James Version, "many mansions. And I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also." All to be in the Father's house, to be standing in his presence, to be worshiping face to face the one who gave his life for us. I'm looking forward to being in the Father's house. That reminds me, I wanted to say thank you today to the Prestonwood family for building a house. My wife Michelle and I had the opportunity to see a house that you helped build in northern Uganda. Just before the pandemic hit, we traveled there to visit with many of your missionaries, and some of those missionaries are working in a refugee settlement in northern Uganda. There are more than 1 million refugees who have poured into Uganda from surrounding countries where war and genocide has plagued South Sudan, Sudan, the Congo. We had the opportunity to see a part of the good work that your missionaries are doing there is building houses for those with special needs in refugee settlements. One particular house sticks out in my memory. The house isn't memorable in terms of the structure that it represents, the beauty of the architecture, anything like that. In fact, it's a very small house. It's not much bigger than the front of the stage here. It's divided into 2 rooms. It's built of brick, but there's a dirt floor, and it's covered by a tin roof. There's no plumbing in the house because, well, water lines and sewer lines aren't available in a refugee settlement. There's no electricity in the house because there's no grid, no power lines. It's just impossible for us to put electricity in that house where electricity doesn't exist. But what's memorable about that house for me is who lives in the house. There's a 16-year-old boy who lives in that house. He has 4 younger brothers and sisters who live with him in that house. There's no father in that house. There's no mother in that house. It's what we call a child-headed household. It's a miracle that those kids are in that house. In fact, it's a miracle that they're alive. They're not from Uganda. They're from South Sudan, a place where war and genocide has taken the lives of millions of people over the past few decades, including their parents. I don't know how he managed to do it, but somehow this 16-year-old boy managed on foot to get out of South Sudan with his 4 younger brothers and sisters in tow. They wandered into this refugee settlement. They had nothing with them. Rags on their back was it. And that's where a young missionary family learned of them and their need. Went out to them, met with them, and with resources that you helped provide here at Prestonwood, built them a house. They also got food for them. Other basic needs were met. And they shared with them about a father who loves them and who wants to adopt them. And he is a king. And for all eternity, he has pledged to meet their every need and to give them joy in his house, to love them and provide for them, where they will never again be afraid, be lonely, be in tears. Thank you, Preston Wood, for loving orphans and refugees on the other side of the world who you've never met. but because you have committed to impacting the world. The who will be there in his kingdom, and we'll be able to look around someday and see not only those who gather with us today, but those who will gather from the nations, every nation, all the tribes and peoples and languages of the world. And some of them will be there because you prayed, because you gave, because you sent, and you went. Amen. Let's ask another question of the vision this morning. Let's ask how. How is it they're there? John uses very symbolic language at this point that I want you to capture the phrase here. He, in verse 9, says, "After this I looked, and behold, who a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, where standing before the throne and before the Lamb." Now notice this phrase. Clothed in white robes. Clothed in white robes. Those white robes are symbolic. Now I believe they're literal. I believe we'll be clothed in white robes in heaven. But there's something that symbolizes, that represents, that's very important not to miss. The Bible says of you and me that we are stained with sin. The Bible says that's true of every human being, that we are conceived in sin, that we're born dead in our trespasses and sin. The scriptures say that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that all is you and it's me, because all is all. And the Bible says that the wages of our sin, the reward of our sin, is not heaven, it's hell, it's death. And yet God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And the scriptures teach us that Jesus, in coming and dying for us, has provided a way for us to be forgiven, a way for us to be cleansed, to have the stain of our sin removed. We sing about it in that old hymn. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We sing about that fountain that's filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their what? Their guilty stains. Thank God for a Savior who came to make us clean, to take away our sin. And those who hear and believe the good news, those who turn from their sin and turn to the Savior in repentance and faith, the Bible says you're forgiven of every wrong that you've ever done. And you'll be there clothed in those white robes. And yet let me tell you this morning about two individuals who I believe will be in heaven who have never heard the good news of the gospel. Now you say, wait a minute, that sounds a little strange. And Dr. Graham, before you rush the stage and turn off the microphone, let me explain what I'm talking about. In Nashville, Tennessee, you helped fund, as a part of our IMB work, what we refer to as the Theological Training School for the Deaf. That's where deaf missionaries go get trained to be missionaries overseas, and that's where missionaries to the deaf go to get trained to be missionaries to the deaf overseas. Did you know you don't have to be deaf to be a missionary to the deaf? Just as you can learn the language and culture of any people group anywhere around the world and go share with them, it's true of the deaf. You can learn sign language and the cultures of deaf people and go to reach the millions of deaf peoples who are lost around the world. Well, during COVID, there were two individuals who came for training at that training school who are not from the U.S., as I understood that they're originally from Indonesia. And they went through the training to be missionaries to the deaf, not being able to travel because of COVID, but wanting to put to practice what they had learned. They invited a group of their deaf friends in Indonesia to join them on a Zoom call. They got online in the Zoom meeting, and they spent an hour sharing their testimony and the gospel with their deaf friends in Indonesia through sign language. At the end of that hour, two of the individuals they were sharing with prayed to put their trust in Jesus, giving their lives to him, and giving every evidence that they're saved. We've connected them with a local church where they're being discipled and being baptized. And there's two individuals who have never heard the gospel because they can't hear, but who have obviously come to understand the gospel as it's been communicated with them through sign language, those two individuals, I believe, will be in heaven. Until the who are there, church, we still have work to do right here in Texas, and right here in our world. In fact, this is the reason God has left you here. It's to impact the world. Let's ask another question this morning, and that question is, why? Why are they there? John paints a beautiful picture here of a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, all tribes and peoples and languages, and they're standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They're clothed in white robes, indicating that they've been cleansed, they've trusted Jesus and been saved. And then John says, this is what they're doing. They have palm branches in their hands. Verse 10, they're crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Why are they there? They're there to worship Him. They're there to honor Him. They're there to give Him the acknowledgement and the praise of which He alone is worthy. They're there because before the foundations of the earth were set in place, the Lamb of glory was destined to come and pay the price of their sin. And giving His life, giving His all for you and for me and for the sins of the world, He deserves to be praised. In every language He's placed upon the tongues of men and women, He is worthy. He is worthy of our worship today. He is worthy of you living your life for Him on mission. He is worthy of you giving your life, if called upon, for Him on mission. He is worthy of everything because He is Lord. And they are there to enjoy Him. We will be there to enjoy Him and to sing His praises and honor Him for all eternity. That's why. Which brings me to the last question. So what? So what? Now, it's not the so what that my teenage daughter often expresses, because I don't think that's a question at all. It's more of a statement. So what? No, the question is this. So what does this mean for me? I've seen the vision of heaven. So what, Lord, do you want from me? What does this mean for me? Let me see if I can illustrate that in a personal way. There's a couple Baptist laymen met in the church parking lot one evening. Now, it wasn't like the church parking lot that you parked in this morning, because it was a smaller church and smaller parking lot. But just as people are part of reaching out to the community here at Preston Wood, it was true of this little church. A little church in a washed up coal mining town on the Tennessee-Kentucky line in the mountains. These two Baptist laymen met because it was visitation night, and well, they did what they'd come to do. They set out walking through the little town and going door to door, knocking on doors and inviting people to come to church. At some point that evening, they made their way up to a little rental property at 210 Province Street. It's the next to last house on the road before the road gets so steep, turning up the mountain, that you can't build a house anymore. They stepped up on the porch and they knocked on the door. It was a young man in his late 20s who came to the door. I don't know if they knew about his situation. It was a small town. Maybe they did. Maybe they knew he was recently divorced. Maybe they knew he was raising three little boys on his own. What they couldn't have known is that one of those little boys, about age 4 at the time, somewhere in the house, would someday be the president of the International Mission Board. They couldn't have known that. But what they did know is their neighbors needed Jesus. They knew that broken families needed the help and the hope that only the Lord can give them. They knew that sinners needed the help and the hope that only a Savior can give them. And so there they were. I'm thankful that my father accepted their invitation. And the next Sunday, took us to church. That became the pattern of our lives. And it wasn't just a few years later that there was another knock on our door and our pastor had dropped by at my father's invitation to share the gospel with my older brother, who was asking questions about what it would mean for him to give his life to Jesus. My younger brother and I, we sat in the floor in the living room as our pastor shared with my older brother the gospel. Brother Herod got 3-for-1 that night as the three of us gave our lives to the Lord and were saved. I'm thankful for a church family like that, that cared about its neighbors. I'm thankful for a church family like this that knows that all around this church, all across this state, and all around the world, are people who need the help and hope that only Jesus can give. Last night I had dinner with one of your pastors, David Shivers. And about halfway through the meal, our waiter came back to the table and asked if there's anything else he could do for us. And David said, well, no, but there's something we'd like to do for you. He said, is there any way we could pray for you, any needs you have in your life? That waiter didn't cuss David out for asking that question. He didn't roll his eyes. He didn't walk away. He didn't slam the door. No. You know what he did? He grabbed a chair from the table across the way and he pulled it over and he set it right down at our table. And he said, well, in fact, I would appreciate prayer. He said, I was laid off for months during the pandemic and went without an income. And he said, now I'm back. I'm only working 3 days a week. He said, I'm having a hard time paying the rent. Could you pray for me? David said, yeah, we'll pray for that. And then David went on to tell him about a place where the rent has been paid in full, about a house that the Father has readied for anyone who has trusted in His Son, where every need will be met, where all sin is forgiven, and where there is hope for all eternity. And then we prayed for that young man. He could have been a member of my family or yours. If not today, probably at least once this week, you'll eat out somewhere. We have the opportunity every day to interact with people who need what we have. They need the help and the hope that only Jesus can give them. There's a world full of billions of people who need the help and hope that only Jesus can give them. And that's why you're here. Let me invite you to stand. What is God asking of you today? Maybe you're here or listening online, and this help and hope that we're talking about is what you need, but you don't even have it yet because you've yet to have a personal relationship with Jesus, yet to put your trust in Him and what He did on the cross. Today you can have His help and His hope, not just for now, but for eternity. And if you're ready to commit your life to Him, then we want to know about it. We want to be able to celebrate with you. And we're going to invite you in just a moment as we begin to sing to come in response. Maybe you have questions. What does that mean? What does it take? There'll be pastors here at the front as well as in the balcony, and they can answer those questions. Maybe you've already committed your life to Him and you have that help and hope for eternity, but you don't have a church family where you know you need to be living out your faith. I know these pastors will be thrilled to talk with you about the membership process. How can you be a part of a church family that's committed to impacting the world? You come as we sing in just a moment. Maybe God is not calling you to come. He's calling you to go. God's calling you to the nations. And today, you're ready to answer. You're ready to say, yes, Lord, I want to live out the reason for which you've left me here. Come, let us know that. Let us share with you about ways you can go to the field. However God is dealing with you. Today, would you respond to him? Bow with me as we pray. Father, thank you for these moments of decision. Thank you, Lord, for leaving us here and giving us the opportunity that's in front of us today to surrender to your plan for our lives, to receive the help and hope that you, Lord Jesus, have provided, to commit to sharing that help and hope with a lost and needy world. Lord, might you speak, might you move, might you press upon our hearts what you want from each of us and find us ready to say today, here am I. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.